Beneath the brilliant northern glow, and out on endless banks of snow, we tarry on our worries gone on this, the Woodland Show. The Woodland Show is an anthology-style narrative podcast written and directed by me, E.K. Manu. The intro and outro music is by Adam Matlock. Cover art for The Woodland Show is designed and edited by Gloria Lima Chavez. Additional vocal talent by The Laughing Dog. With that said, let's take a journey into those dark and frozen woods, with the snow crackling under our feet and the moon looming bright above us. This is The Woodland Show. Last year, I moved back to Alaska to find my roots again. You know, I tried the big city life in the lower 48. I gave it a shot. It wasn't for me. So I came back. Moved into a little village on the coast. I wanted somewhere small, somewhere quiet. That was all I expected. I don't think I ever could have... expected this. I never believed in the supernatural. My mom did. She liked the old stories, raised me on the old legends. I mean, this has nothing to do with that, I guess. Maybe it does. I wasn't really listening, but all the talk you hear about the supernatural, you know, vampires, werewolves, you'd expect it to be like the movies, right? Like, if it was real, you'd find some hidden cabal of underground wizards or whatever. This wasn't like that. This wasn't like that at all. My brush with the supernatural has been a strange one, for sure. I mean, it started on an island. This little one that just sort of emerged out of the mist in front of me. I don't know why I landed my boat on it. I hadn't caught much that day, and I was feeling restless, maybe. Wanted to stretch my legs. Anyway, I pulled up to this little island, and I landed my boat on the rocks, and it was a rocky one. Just stones and ice and this little copse of pines, just dense enough to obscure the center of the island, and whatever was on the other side. It felt weird, you know, heavy. Like there was this pressure just weighing on your shoulders, and along the shoreline there was this low bellowing, because the whole place was completely covered in Pacific walruses. I mean, not an unusual thing, right? You get that, but this wasn't as chaotic as it usually is. No, it was more, melodic? Like their bellowing was forming this kind of drum beat, this music in my head. I can't explain it, but I felt this pull in my chest, this draw towards the center of the island. So I went. I don't know why I went to LA back then. I wanted to be, an actor, I guess? I wanted to be somebody, anybody else. But that was all hustle and bustle, folks who'd call you a friend and all you looked like to them was a potential paycheck. And here I was, back in Alaska, on this rocky little island surrounded by walruses, and I felt less afraid. It didn't feel as strange to me. Maybe it should have. The island had a path, leading up from the rocky beach towards the center. I couldn't tell you who built it. Could have been anybody. I thought maybe fishermen at the time, or maybe it was as old as the island itself. No way to be sure, but... thinking back on it, it's probably the latter. So I follow this path, up and into the cover of the pines. It was foggy, I couldn't see a thing. And there's the howling of walruses in the background. It felt like wandering into another world. I had this distinct feeling that I wasn't alone. I'm following this path, and I get towards the center. Not a long walk, maybe 5-10 minutes, and through the fog, this shape sort of rises like this big rectangular shadow, maybe 8 feet high. Getting closer, it's this stone pillar, and it's ringed by a set of smaller stones all patterned out. There's writing all the way down it, carved into the rock itself. It's not in a language I know. Maybe my mom would. But this stone, it's thrumming, it's got this power to it. It pushes me to my knees, and in front of it, I can't help myself. So I do. I kneel in front of the stone, and it sort of consumes my whole vision. It towers over me, and it looks down and into me. And then there's this rush of wind, this movement just out the corner of my vision. And in a moment, it's on me. I'm knocked to the ground, and it's on top of me. No way I could tell what it was. I was fighting blind. But it was big, it was heavy, and it was quick. It was tearing at my chest, my arms. I flailed, mad, trying to get it off me, screaming to no one, and then, just like that, it was gone. Just left me there, broken, immobile, bleeding out onto the stones. I just lay there for a second, immobile, wondering if I was dead. I could feel myself bleeding out. There was no sound save for the hooting of the walruses down on the shore, no wind, just the fog laying heavy on top of me. I wasn't in pain, really. There was this kind of dullness to it, like someone had laid a barbell on my chest and it was pressing down on me. And evening slowly turned into night. I remember the bellowing of the walruses sort of blending together, this low throbbing chant that pulsed in my bones, deep and resonant like the men's choir at my father's church, this low pulsing rhythm that hypnotized me, lulled me into the thrall of it. And then the moon rose. I saw it come up above the tree line, peering down at me like a spotlight through the fog. There was something magnetic to it. Something that pulled me up and into it, like those folks on History Channel talk about with the UFOs. And the fog cleared, directly above me, as if it was forming a funnel right from me to the moon, and there it was above me, bright and beautiful and full. I felt myself get to my knees, and then stand up to my full height. I didn't feel like I was in control. I mean, I was aware of everything I was doing, but it felt like someone else was piloting my body. I felt myself slowly begin to walk back towards the beach, one step after another. Each step seemed to grow heavier, louder, the light tapping of my shoes on the stone slowly becoming dull, heavy thuds. I felt myself growing physically larger as I went. My perspective changed. I must have gained a foot in height by the time I reached the shore. I was transforming. The chanting of the walruses had reached a crescendo as I reached the shore, this grand, triumphant melody of baritone hollers. And then, suddenly, it stopped, and there I was before a crowd of enormous warm bodies, their forms thick with fat for the winter temps, the males with tusks like swords. They looked at me as if they saw me, really saw me. Then they bowed their heads. The ones toward the center sort of shuffled to the side, showing a path down to the water, and I walked among them. In between them, descending down towards the water's edge. My actions weren't my own, but there was no fear in me as I dipped down into the ocean. It should have been cold, freezing. I should have gone into hypothermic shock from the mere exposure to it, but I didn't. It felt as warm to me as a lake in summer, and one step after another, I dipped down into the water. And I swam away. I don't remember much about that first night. It was more feelings, sensations, these brief flashes of moments. I remember swimming in the dark of the Northern Ocean, my body feeling strong, powerful, graceful. I dipped and twirled as if it was as innate to me and natural as breathing. And I did breathe. I came up for air and took deep, exultant gulps of crisp oxygen before diving back into the water to be one with it again, a part of it. I remember sitting out on the ice in the dead of night, looking up at the northern lights, in awe at the beauty of them, the serene presence. I remember feeling at peace, my head empty, save for the experience. And that was just the first time. It got easier after that. I woke up at home, my little shack on the seaside. I was in bed, dressed in tattered scraps of what had been my outfit. I cursed that jacket had been expensive. My bed was soaked through. I was wet and shivering. I laid my bed heavy with towels, hoping to soak it up the best I could, and then I took a long, hot shower and dried off thoroughly. And I did my best to remember. It came back in spurts, flashes. I still haven't recalled the whole thing. Everything I've told you is everything I can remember. I should have been shocked, I think. Should have thought I was going crazy. I didn't. Maybe because it still sort of felt like a dream. I called up a buddy of mine, begged him if he was heading out that day if he could help me find my boat. It wasn't back at the docks. He seemed incredulous. He asked me if I didn't have my boat, how the heck did I make it home? I don't remember what I told him. Whatever it was, it probably didn't make that much sense. But he was an old buddy from high school, and he agreed to help. So we took off, went back to the same spot I knew I'd been fishing at previously. I told him we were looking for an island, and we didn't find it. We did find my boat, but it was just adrift, alone in the sea and moored to nothing. I couldn't explain it. My friend must have seen the look on my face because he didn't ask too many questions. We hitched the thing up and steered our way back to the mainland in near silence. Neither of us quite sure what to make of me.
And now, a brief intermission from the Woodland Show with a message from Old Coop.
Hey, witches and wizards, Old Coop here from Old Coop's Lawnmower Repair and Spirit Invocation. Coming at you with a hot tip about transubstantiation. That is transmogrification, alchemical or otherwise. When you're working to change one thing to another thing, here's a big secret. The more you change, son, the more it stays the same. Remember, half price on Wednesday, see you all day.
Thanks, Old Coop. And now, back to the Woodland Show.
That first month, I was afraid. I wasn't sure what had happened, or if it would happen again, and if it did, when. But stronger than the fear was the, I don't know, joy, satisfaction, self-assuredness. I had felt content in those waters. I felt free. It was so different from the scared young man who had disappeared to LA to find himself. I had felt so bound to make something of myself then, so determined to prove I was valuable, that I was more than the little Alaskan town I had been raised in, and I had failed. I had come back to the north, hanging my head in defeat, but there in those cold, dark waters, there had been none of that. No shame, no guilt. I could swim and dance and bathe in the moonlight, bound by expectations of nothing and no one. It was thrilling. And despite myself, I hoped against hope it would happen again, and sure enough, a month passed, the moon turned full again, and it did. The second time was different. I was more aware of it, more in my body, I guess. I still wasn't expecting it. I had grown kind of complacent, actually. A month had passed, and I was starting to figure that Maybe it was nothing, a fluke, a dream. But no. Sure enough, on the night of the full moon, I awoke in a cold sweat. And I knew I had to get out of there, get down to the shoreline, find some cover where I wouldn't be seen. I rushed out of my shack as quickly as I could. Luckily, it was the dead of night and winter, so it was pitch black and no one was out. To be fair, it was always pitch black this time of year. The transformation was already happening as I burst out my door and rushed to the shoreline. I felt my body grow and contort, putting on fat and muscle and nearly doubling in size, webbing extending in between my now elongated fingers, turning them into flippers at the ends of my arms, my face twisted, changing shape to allow for two enormous tusks that now sprung from the front of it, and with one last mad dash, I was in the water, and I was free. I was more aware of the transformation the second time. I was present for it. I could feel it. I was so strong, so graceful in the water. When you can swim like that, when the currents are nothing but buoys to you, when you can move as if you are moving through air, I tell you, it feels like flying. When you're out on the sea on a ship, whether you're fishing or sailing, you always sort of feel like an interloper. You're a visitor there, a tourist at the whim of the sea. It can choose to support you, give you a good catch in calm waters, provide for you. Or, like a scorned lover, it can turn on you in a moment and claim you for its depths. But when I'm transformed, I no longer feel that. Suddenly, I'm welcome there. The seals and the walruses regard me as a companion, a peer. The fish fear and respect me as a predator, and the sharks, well, perhaps they view me as prey, even, were I not quite so large. So instead, with them, it's a tenuous peace, a subtle acknowledgement that goes without words. And that was how I spent my second full moon, dancing among the waves, feeling the movement of the ocean, getting acquainted with the life there, and feeling fully and completely at home. I woke up on the shore the next day, just down the bank from my shack. I was wet and cold, but luckily I had thought to disrobe this time, so I was able to shuffle back to my house, dry off, dress up. I knew it wasn't a farce now. This was no one-off. When the full moon came, I transformed into some thing, some walrus-like creature of the sea and ice. So what had happened to me? What had really gone down on that island? I didn't remember. I still don't. But I knew it was some kind of initiation. Some ushering into a new world, a new life. I gave a thought to telling someone, trying to reach out and let someone know what I was going through, but I thought back to my friend's reaction when I simply asked him to go look for my boat with me, and no, better not. Some things are better left unsaid. So, what to do? Maybe I should go and look for that island again. We couldn't find it when we went in the boats, but maybe. Maybe if I swam there. The next full moon, I was ready. I stood on the shoreline in the darkness, disrobed, and put my clothes in a small, secure package under a rock. I still felt a little crazy. even now on the third time, but sure enough, when the moon emerged over the horizon, the change came over me once again, and I slipped into the water. I wasn't sure how I was going to find the island. I didn't have a plan, really. But as soon as I was in the ocean, I knew I'd be able to. I don't know if it was by sense of smell or something else, something more mystical, more innate, but I felt pulled to it like a fish on a line, and I just followed the sensation. I moved so quickly in the water, far quicker than any kind of fishing boat. That mode of transportation almost seemed sluggish and slow to me now. And soon enough, I was striding out of the water onto the rocky beach, the sound of walruses bellowing around me, a sound that quieted to a respectful silence as I walked among them. Walruses have brutal mating rituals, males vying for dominance with massive tusks and shows of strength and power, and I need not even do that. These males cowed to me as if in religious reverence, and I strode past them and went towards the center of the island, and whatever waited me there. In the center of the island, I found that ring of stones, with that same high pillar in the middle of them, but now, lying at the feet of the stones, was a figure, a massive shape laid prone at the foot of the pillar. I knelt beside the form, and bore witness to an entity who looked much like myself, or myself as I was, somewhere between man and walrus, caught between beast of the land and beast of the sea, but this one was old. His tusks were yellowed and his whiskers were gray. He was breathing shallow, raspy breaths. He looked up at me with what I presumed to be a weak sort of smile. I knew immediately this was the being who had attacked me when I had first come to the island, but he had seemed so strong then, so fast, and now before me he lay aged and dying. Unsure what to do, I held his head in my massive flippers. I watched him slowly transform into a man. And when he did, he looked normal. It was just a guy, like me. Well, quite a bit older. He looked in his mid to late 80s, not absurdly old, but definitely no sprout. I guessed immediately it was just sort of his time. I could tell from his eyes that that was the case. He looked up to me and smiled, a real human smile this time. And he said two words, "You're free." And with that, he died. The one person who might have been able to answer my questions passed away in my arms, laid to rest in the same place that I had been born anew. I crawled back into my shack the next morning as I slowly transformed back into a person, thinking about the man's last words. "You're free." How could he have known that I was imprisoned, and what exactly was I being freed from? I washed and dressed and went about my day feeling a bit exhausted. I really hadn't slept, if you think about it. The man had clearly lived a long life, one he seemed content with, and in his final act it seemed he had chosen me to receive this... what was it? A gift? A curse? I still wasn't entirely sure, but the distinct feeling of joy I felt swimming about in those waters and the final words of the man who had given it to me spoke to one answer in particular. This wasn't something I was cursed with. It was something I needed. So all I supposed was left was to find out why, and if I was free, what that freedom meant. I spent the next few days testing myself, pushing myself, seeing what I could do. I found I could swim not just pretty fast, but very fast. I could outpace just about anything else in that water, make it to Russia and back in just a couple hours. I was exceptionally strong, too. Even on land, where I was a little more gangly and uncoordinated, I could lift heavy boulders that I would have never been able to budge as a person. I had some command over the other walruses as well. It wasn't like they obeyed me, exactly. It was more like they answered me and respected me. My hoots and hollers carried weight. We couldn't precisely communicate. Theirs wasn't a language of words, but I could get my message across, and they respected me enough to listen. Eventually, and with practice, I found I didn't even need the full moon to transform. It was easier than sure, and on full moon nights it was difficult, even painful, to resist the transformation, and that was if I wanted to. I mostly just wanted to see if I could. But even when the moon wasn't out, I found if I focused, concentrated on my breathing, I could slip into that shape, dip into the water, and become myself again. And it really was becoming myself. I became more and more of a nomad after a while. My shack saw less and less use. Eventually, I hardly bothered to return to it. I slept on my boat, over the water, and traveled the coast. I spent my days fishing when I needed to, and I rarely did. I had become so much more successful catching fish with my own two hands. And I spent my nights in the shape of a walrus, dancing and cavorting amidst the waves. It wasn't that I was escaping from being a person, either. Quite the opposite. In fact, I was enjoying being a person so much more. I used my new nomadic existence to drop in and see friends I hadn't talked to in years. I would dance and laugh, have a few drinks. I felt more myself than I could ever remember feeling. I danced up and down the coast, visiting old friends, making new ones. It became my whole reputation, that I was the guy who'd appear out of nowhere, you'd have a good night with, share a few stories, and you'd see me again in a few weeks with all new stories to tell. Eventually, I even felt so good I decided to do the thing I dreaded most. Drop in and see my parents. See, I said I had gone to LA to try and find myself. And that was mostly true. But there was something more to it than that. I had been running away. My parents were harsh, always had been. Not the worst parents, not by far, but not easy. My dad was an immigrant. He'd been brought to Alaska by a missionary group, found the church and never looked back. He started his own business, met my mom, and my mom, she was local. Family had been in Alaska for generations. She was the first of them to get an education. Suffice it to say, they were self-starters, and their expectations for me, as an only child, were high. I wanted to impress them. I wanted to succeed, get rich, but really, I kinda just wanted to fish. It was what I had grown up doing, what I liked. So when I stumbled back to Alaska, I had felt like a failure on two fronts. A failure for not making it in the big city, and a failure for coming home to a future they had never seen for me. I hadn't seen them since I had gotten back. It was about time I did. I went for a swim before I went to meet them. Wanted to get it out of my system, clear my head, and it helped. And when I knocked on their door, I was red-faced and tired. Exertion isn't cleared by transformation, I had found. I expected a chiding. You didn't tell us you were in town, you didn't even call. You know, that sort of thing. But their there was none of that to be found. Instead, I opened the door and fell into an embrace. I came totally clean over coffee. Okay, almost clean. I didn't need to know about the whole transforming into a walrus bit. That could come later, if it came at all. But I did tell them about LA, and about falling out, coming home, and returning to fishing. About how it was all I really wanted, and I didn't need anything else. I just wanted to be free. And, well, they listened. They listened to all of it. They weren't super happy about the wasted money, but they weren't nearly as disappointed in me as I was expecting, and instead, I was met with love. That was all I was ever really asking for in the first place. I ended up staying with my folks for a few days, sharing stories, catching up, but eventually, like I always did, I grew restless. And so I waved my goodbyes, kissed my mother, and took off once again for the sea. I breathed a little easier once I was on the water. Settling down, catching up, it's nice. But this was my home. This was where I belonged. Even more so once I took off my shirt, stood on the prow of my ship, and dove headfirst into the freezing water. In my own body once again. It hasn't been a half bad existence since then. I've been free. Really, truly free. I've been traveling up and down the coast, going places, seeing things. And what's next? I don't really know. I'm thinking I might have to investigate this whole thing, see where it comes from, if there are others out there like me. Be pretty wild if there were. But mostly, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. I'm free, aren't I? And I think we kinda all are, if we want to be. Oh, by the way, your drink's up, and I should probably be going. There's fish to catch, you know, seas to swim in. Oh, you never caught my name. Yeah, I guess I never gave it. How about Ross? Yeah, Ross Wahlberg. That'd be pretty funny, huh? Yeah, put that on the check. Anyway, thanks for the chat. I think I needed some of that off my chest. Catch you on the next turn, eh?
This has been The Woodland Show. I'm E.K. Manu. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Adam Matlock for the use of his songs Refuge in Transformation and Course Unclear off the album Masked, Winged, and Hidden for the intro and outro music. You can find those and much more of his work at adammatlock.bandcamp.com. Thanks as well to Gloria Lima Chavez for the design of the Woodlands cover art. You can also find her work with the band The Morning Party at themorningparty.com. And a special thanks to The Laughing Dog for the voice and character of Old Coop. You can find his artwork on Instagram at Mirth and Woe. Thank you very much for joining me on this episode of The Woodland Show. Let's walk this moonlit path and see where the road might take us.